Hello and welcome to Android Developers Backstage, episode number 13, or should we call it 14, just because we're so superstitious here. Let's go with 13. I am Chet Haas on the UI Toolkit team for Android.
I am Tor Norby from the Tools team for Android.
And I'm Adam Powell from the UI Toolkit team on Android.
Excellent. So Adam and Tor and I have been talking about doing this exact show for a long time, and we were always too busy, and so we waited until we just didn't care anymore because we're still really busy. But let's take an hour out and talk about support library and related toolkit stuff with Adam. I like the dead spots.
So do you want to sort of do the elevator pitch for the support library?
It's an interesting question. So, I mean, it's part of the SDK. It basically has turned into something that most developers are relying on, and it grew out of an original idea of, okay, how do we just sort of wrap up all of these version checks that happen when you're trying to use newer APIs on an older platform version? From there, it started growing into, okay, what would be a reasonable backport of this particular API that we could go ahead and run that code from the support library on older devices and still use the framework functionality when it's available.
So like fragments and Fragment Manager?
Yeah, Fragments and Fragment Manager was kind of a bigger thing, mostly because it doesn't share a common shim, so okay. You're still using either the full support lib fragments or the framework fragments at that point. And that was kind of the first big break from that initial just compatibility shim.
You mean if you're using the support lib version of fragments, that is what you're getting. You're not getting the shim if you happen to be running on a platform version that supports them natively?
Right, that's okay. Still using the support lib implementation there. Okay, and so it's mostly just because of the way that the inheritance hierarchy works out for fragments in general.
Okay. So what are other examples of that where it's one or the other?
That's a great question.
Grid layout?
Grid layout is one of them.
Okay. So that came in probably Jelly Bean or maybe Jelly Bean number one.
So I guess now we're talking about not just the support library, but all the support libraries, right? Because Grid layout is a separate library. It's because of the way that the resource system works. You know, you have to have library projects. And in Eclipse, that meant you had to actually copy all the source code into your workspace.
Right.
So that, you know, it could do the R field merging and resolution. You can't have pre-compile it in the jar where the numbers are hard-coded, you know?
Right. I mean, at this point, I think support library is kind of a misnomer. It's more a suite of support libraries. Most things still depend on the Android support v4. Which still mostly just owing to the fact that changing the name would be a pain in the neck, still supports all the way back to Donut, just kind of because.
Because most users are still on Donut, is that right?
I think that we still have a pretty sizable population there. We might be able to even find a couple of them.
Actually, the most important thing is that it is called Donut, so I think it's actually just an honorarium to the food. So that's nice. So actually, this is one of the confusing things for me. Like, the more I dip into some support library stuff, starting to actually hack in there, is that there is such a difference between the different pieces there. Some of it is compat. Like, you mean something very specific when you say app compat that is not the same as the recycler view thing in the support library or something else that's not called compat. Like, what is the distinction between the different pieces in this suite of libraries then?
So it all kind of started historically. So the support v4 library was sort of where everything started. And due to artifacts of the build system at the time, we couldn't include resources in that library. So it was delivered just as a raw jar, just the code. And there's been sort of a historical contortions around that over time. The fact that we couldn't, as Tor was kind of alluding to earlier, strip out unused resources from larger, more monolithic libraries, we started breaking it down into smaller component-oriented libraries where you would sort of pick from the menu of functionality that you wanted, include those pieces in your project. And I think that we're still continuing to move further in that direction of trying to break up some of this functionality that historically was all kind of in this one big wad of support v4 or support 13 or the other sort of just raw numbered versions that aren't for a particular piece of functionality.
So do I have it right that v4 support library is for, you know, supporting devices back to API 4, and 13 is a subset of that, which is, it doesn't include all the back stuff if you know that you minus the case 13 or higher? Is that how it works?
It's sort of. I mean, you're still going to be using the support v4 library in addition to the 13 library if you're using the 13 library.
Okay.
So in this case, the version number expressed in the library's name is only referring to what do you have to declare as your min SDK version to use that library.
Okay. All right. And so now you have these new support libraries, like the recycler view. That's where you're putting new widgets. What's the purpose of the base support library now? Because I think app compat is where all the compatibility stuff goes, right? And then you have sort of some new libraries for new widgets. What is the going forward the use for the the base support library?
Well, so I mean, from that, app compat is really just for higher level UI compatibility stuff. The support v4 library is still containing a lot of lower level API shims and components. So again, these are those areas where we kind of want to be able to break this down a little bit more and maybe come up with some more organization that makes a little bit more intuitive sense. Because even after working with it for this long, I mean, you take a look at it and you have exactly that reaction, right?
Right. So
I hear the answer to your question and I'm still not sure what the answer is.
I think the answer was stay tuned. That's what I heard. Like,
the answer is partially stay tuned. Support v4 is where we have a lot of just very low-level API shims. App compat is where we have, if you're writing a full application UI, then how do you use the most modern UI patterns? Not just the APIs, but the UI patterns themselves. So, for example, you're starting to see this start to include, I mean, it started off with action bars, right? So, okay, how do we use action bars on old versions? And it was basically sort of laying a lot of other bedrock, doing what other libraries out in the community like Action Bar Sherlock was doing, and sort of setting the stage for continuing that pattern as we evolve the platform. So as we move on to material design, then that library is also kind of jumping up to speed there as well.
Okay, so for example, the compat library theme will do the right thing on V21 with material, is that?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
And so if people are going to pick and choose, then do they get everything and they need to depend on something like ProGuard to strip it out, or do they then just say, I just want the recycler view jar so that it's not pulling in this monolithic thing for that specific use case?
Yeah, we're really hoping that this is going to be one of the other side effects of breaking these things down a little bit more, is making sure that we don't need to just rely on stripping tools for everything. I mean, as much as it's sometimes more useful to just say, hey, give me everything and then make it so that I don't have to worry about whatever I don't use. I think that a lot of developers are starting to run into issues, especially around things like DEX method limits, so on and so forth. So the less we can bring in from the outset from some of these libraries, I think the better just for the day-to-day.
Often when you go through that exercise of modularity, you also have some nice side benefits of reducing interdependencies that, if you just had one global library, you would have accidental cross dependencies that would pull in more than you need to.
Yeah, that's right. We're starting to find a lot of really similar things like that. One that came up just the other day was around, say, the action bar drawer toggle component. So that's the piece that gives you the little hamburger slider icon up in your action bar to extend the navigation drawers. And as we started moving more and more of that over, we realized, hey, parts of this really should be closer tied in with app compat in order to tie in with those compatibility implementations as well. So it really is kind of an exercise of teasing apart some of those other dependencies and that have just sort of built up organically over time and giving them a little bit more structure.
I guess we should, I mean, maybe you said it, but I think maybe another really big point of the support library is letting the framework team put out new UI widgets that people can use today, right? And some widgets that have been added to the framework hasn't really stood the test of time. They aren't really used today, whereas like the drawer layout. Yeah, and I think that there are several. When you look in the layout editor palette, like, what's this widget? Oh yeah, that's right, people used to like this.
Not just that the developers could use today, but the developers could add to their application and users way back in the releases could actually use that feature, as opposed to like, yeah, this is really fantastic framework functionality that we do think people will depend on in the future, but the reality is your users may not have it for a while.
Right, so like drawer layout was one of those, like suddenly everyone could have them right away. Whereas if you had to wait for adoption, it could be a couple of years.
Yeah, drawer layout, view pager, there's been a bunch of them that have kind of used the support libraries as more of an incubation ground for other framework widgets.
Like a virus.
A little bit.
Okay.
No, nothing like a virus.
Or like a sick baby. So So
I also want to say, you know, no listing of the support libraries could be complete without mentioning, you know, the annotations support library, which, let's face it, is maybe the most important of them all.
I'm sorry, were you saying something?
The annotations one. No?
No.
You're staring at me blankly. The support library as of version 20 contains a separate library that has annotations, like nullable and non-null and
who wrote
research.
That?
I think we might know. It's on the tip of my tongue.
I don't know.
No, but you know, I think it's important for people to know about it because it's not in the support library. It's one of them, so you have to actually explicitly import it if you're in Eclipse or in Gradle build system. But once you have it, you know, it makes your code better.
So yeah. One of the elements of support library, like why we add more and more there going forward, is that at least in my little brain, I think of the platform as basically getting more and more full-featured with every release, and all of a sudden we can build really full-featured widgets on the outside of the framework without actually having to, you know, add more plumbing to make them work. So drawer layout can work in standalone all on its own.
It's sort of like the unbundling of the apps too, right? Where all of a sudden, you know, you don't have to get the latest version of Android to have, you know, Gmail, right? It's sort of, you know, you can install it whatever version you have, which is kind of nice.
Right. I mean, that's one of the real benefits that we've seen in creating some of the widgets in the support library so far. But I think that it's still not a replacement for bringing some of that into the framework as we decide that these are things that we really do like, that they are standing the test of time. We gave a lot of thought to bringing in some of the things like ViewPager and drawer layout for the upcoming release. Looks like that's probably not happening just yet because we're still kind of tweaking API. I mean, as soon as you get an opportunity to promote something like that into, you know, the it will live forever land of the framework, then suddenly you start just second guessing all the API that's there. Oh, what if we change this? What if we change that? And, you know, it has a tendency to not fully happen at that point.
Or what if UI patterns move on in 5 years, and though that is a really rich and awesome widget, you know, 5-10 years from now, people don't want that because of however they construct their
UI. Right, exactly, which is why you want to be really careful with it. You want to make sure that it's something that is just so generic that it's going to still continue to be useful on in the future. Recycler View, I think, is going to be a great candidate for this, for example.
Let's talk about Recycler View.
Ooh. Oh, did we just segue?
I think so.
Okay.
I've heard that recycling is good. It's good for the environment.
And that's why everyone loves List View. Is that right? Can we take a quick poll of the listeners and ask who really loves List View? I can't count any. I did. Okay, there's one. You're not a listener. You're a speaker.
Oh.
I think that at I.O. they used to have talks every year, like how to work with List View and how to make it perform better and how to avoid common pitfalls. Like it's one of those, like it was really difficult to do the right thing and to get jank-free scrolling.
Yeah, awesome functionality, but tricky to use correctly, especially if you wanted to do visually interesting things with it or use, you know, unusual item things and the interaction of the items were unusual and...
Yeah, so List View was kind of cool in that the core patterns of doing what it was designed to do were the sort of things that were fairly straightforward. You need to be aware of those patterns, and you know we did talk about that at previous IOs. But when you get right down to it, I mean the world continued moving, right? I mean all of these UI patterns that started emerging, or especially around animations, swipe to dismiss, all of these things just weren't even on the roadmap when List View was first being written. So List View made a whole ton of assumptions right up front about how much it can assume control of all the views there and perform other manipulations on them, what guarantees it gave to applications and their adapter code. And all of it was just kind of misaligned with the direction that things ended up going. So Recycler View was really meant to be sort of a step back from some of that, where we could go ahead and revisit some of those assumptions, make new ones, and kind of move forward from there in a way that was maybe a little bit more extensible. We had a lot of feature requests over the years for just repeated things over and over. Being able to adjust the layouts, staggered grids became something that got really popular for a while.
Sarah, what's a staggered grid?
So if you have a...
It's a grid that drank too much.
True. The staggered grids you started to see in various places like G Plus on the web, for example, is a good example. More examples. Example.
For example.
Right.
Okay.
So basically it means that your rows aren't perfectly aligned.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
So popular UI patterns started coming into fashion, and trying to write that in the framework of even adapter view from the framework just was pretty much a terrible base class if you were coming at it from the standpoint of an app developer trying to make use of that to write a widget. So Recycler View was more of an attempt to say, okay, well, what if we created a framework for writing list views and just sort of went from there so that we could go ahead and expand that out to different forms of grids, scrolling in different dimensions, getting all sorts of different interactions with that.
You basically added one level of interaction.
Yeah, that's about it, really.
You could solve every problem with it.
Took like an afternoon. Yeah. Not a big deal.
So in the meantime, I had always been looking at list view from the standpoint of animations, because after the animation framework came online, then people would say, oh, well, how would I do this? And I thought, well, that's really difficult. And then I would figure out how to do that, and then I would do, you know, some article or DevBite or whatever and explain how to do that. And, well, what if I wanted to do it this way? And so then you do another tutorial, like using a different approach, and pretty soon there's like 10 or 12 tutorials teaching how to do different types of list view animations, because it's really tricky to do.
And right? Most of those things had like some really severe limitations as well. I mean, it made for a great code example where you could go ahead and hit a button and an item would disappear and the rest of the list items would cinch closed around it. But that interaction when you do it with a list view is just so fundamentally brittle. You can't start touch scrolling it while it's in the middle of that animation, for example. Otherwise, just everything completely blows up. If one of those views happens to have something else going on within it, or your backing data dispatches some sort of an adapter change to update the contents of that list while it's animating, well, good luck, because that's just not going to work.
And if this is an SMS client, you know, you can end up sending like a reply to the wrong person, which wasn't there some bug many years ago in the SMS client due to list view and like the wrong I don't think it was tied to animation, but
no,
you know,
it wasn't animation, that was something,
right, but it was some sort of list view handling bug that,
yeah, I think it was, oh, good grief, I'm trying to remember, there was some assumption that was being made around some of the callbacks there. I don't remember the specifics. Yeah.
My favorite list view bug was in Gmail. I don't know if it was a release bug or if it was sort of in development, but you would delete an item and it would have a nice fade, and if you flung the list at the same time, you would see unrelated items fading out. Because the confusion that is caused by the recycle model, where the children of that view group, which is the list view, are not the same as the items in the data set. And if you think they are, then the bad things will start happening.
Right. I mean, you would see similar stuff. I'm pretty sure that you can even see this in the Gmail app today, where if you select several messages all at once and hit archive, they all try and animate out. If you've selected some, scrolled some of that off screen, yep, selected some more,
yep,
and you hit that archive button, then what you see animate, yeah, just has no connection whatsoever with what's actually being archived.
Yep. Pretty awesome. So
in list view, people were supposed to use the view holder pattern, and that's, mm-hmm, one of those things that you're enforcing now, right? In the recycler view, like that basically, like it says, what's your view holder? Is that
true? Right. So part of the reason for that is that the view holder ends up being a really great place for an adapter to stash metadata. And the first type of metadata that you think of for that is, okay, well, cache all your find view by ID calls, because it requires traversing down into your list items. And as UIs have gotten more complex, those sub hierarchies have also gotten more complex to match. So every millisecond counts when you're trying to do measurement and layout and repopulation of these views very quickly. So that, right off the bat, lets you, you know, directly address any of the other views that you've got without the extra work. It's also really helpful to be able to just stash other information about a particular item that may be transient, may be just sort of associated with it. You might stash listeners there that you may update later. Just anything kind of along those lines. The view holder belongs to the adapter. It's where the adapter gets to stash its data. Very similar to the way that in any other view group, the view group has layout params that it's able to use to stash extra data. It's not just for parameters that are coming in from the actual like layout XML or other parameters that outsiders may be providing to it. You basically have this nice little encapsulated data object that you can just create other private fields on and stash pre-calculated values, so on and so forth.
Right. So you enforce the view holder. List view used to sort of do, like, it was a list, and it was a grid view that sort of did a grid.
Yep.
Now you've sort of abstracted that out. So this is just handling the aspect of recycling, right? Mm-hmm. And then there's this other thing you do to control the structure visually, right?
Right. So that's the layout manager that you set on the recycler view.
So if I have a project that's using a list view, how easy is it to go and rip that out and replace it with a recycler view backed implementation?
It really depends on how complex your adapters are. Adapters that are doing a lot of tricky things, adapters that have tried to set up a lot of very list view specific type animations to the best of your ability with list view, those are going to be a little bit trickier just because a bunch of those pieces of functionality just aren't there. Many of them that you just don't need anymore.
Because so the new recycler view has animations built in, is that the case, or do you still have to do work to like deletion and insertion and stuff, have that be animated?
So we've got a lot of new automated support for stuff like that. The first piece of this was, again, one of these assumptions from list view that we were able to break. In list view, whenever an adapter updates, it says, okay, notify data set changed. What changed? You figure it out. And so with recycler view, we really wanted to get a little bit more fine-grained data from the adapter about what items have changed so that we can do things like animate it, so that we can just keep the views handled more efficiently. We don't have to rebind a view where the data didn't change. We don't have to remeasure a view where the data didn't change.
I see. So if I'm trying to replace my code, I might have to make sure that my data adapter is firing more accurate events, but I can hopefully rip out all my animation logic and just rely on recycler view to
That would be nice, or to at least use the plumbing in there. So there are some straightforward, simple animations that come for free. You know, if you add and remove items and you tell us, you know, that the data set changed that did the add remove, we will do the right, you know, sort of fade and move thing around. There is more interesting logic that you can opt into that requires a little bit more effort in your custom layout manager in order to tell us not just did things go away, but where did they go away to, so that we can do an animation that makes even more sense. And then there's some customization that you can do on top of that if you choose to.
Yeah, there's this really interesting interaction when you try and do animations, and especially if you've tried to do them with list view, this comes up, where whenever you have views that would either fall out of the visible area or come into the visible area from being completely off screen, there's this interesting case where either you don't know where it's coming from or you don't know where it's going to. And that was something that we spent quite a bit of brain power working out for Recycler View as well, just trying to see, okay, how do we make this this tricky case as straightforward as possible for implementers of custom layout managers?
Hard problem. I think we wore out a couple of whiteboards. So that's mostly about Recycler View. You can see that in the L preview right now, to the extent that it was developed then, and obviously in L things continue to happen.
Right. I would expect to see a lot more development in that general area as well. Now that we've got kind of this core that is Recycler View, we can start building more and more tools in the support library that make use of it. So we can get more canned widgets that just sort of set up all of the layout parameters that you need so that all you do
is... So like a list view 2 that is basically
more or less,
a vertical list again without you having to put a list-like adapter.
Exactly.
That would be nice.
And more pieces that you can then plug and play. So in the L preview, I think we had Linear Layout Manager there, which you can just use on the fly. Well, there's no reason there couldn't be other layout managers as well. You can write your own custom one, and you should be encouraged to do so if you want to go to that effort. On the other hand, there are standard ones that maybe the framework or the support library could actually just provide out of the box for you.
Right.
Same thing with adapters, right?
Mm-hmm.
For the common cases.
Well, not really. Well, I suppose. I mean, there's always just really simple array adapters and so on and so forth.
Yeah, cover the common cases, the simple cases, and then if people need to do something custom for their database or whatever, then.
Yeah, I mean, in practice, array adapter is kind of weird because you see some developers really try and take that way beyond its original sort of intent of, okay, I just have this very simple array of objects, show it in a list, and then just over time it accumulates more stuff about how, oh, well, what if it updates here? What if I'm like pre-caching values from my real data source back here and I'm using the backing array more as a cache? And sometimes it gets really kind of hairy. I would almost suggest that if you've got something that you know is complex up front, probably don't start with array adapter.
I would be curious, once image-heavy applications start using Recycler View, if there's common patterns around adapters that could work with the very tricky image image downloading and caching and thumbnailing and like this memory-intensive thrashing thing that developers tend to...
Yeah, a couple of guys on the team had been looking into this for a little while about like how could we just go ahead and offer some really... Mm-hmm. bulletproof image cache that we could throw in the support library and say, here, this will solve all your problems. Just dump things in here and you're good to go. There's always a lot of really interesting edge cases depending on your specific data usage, though.
Well, we've already discussed two such libraries on this podcast.
Yes, right. Yep. Vali and...
Well, last week we talked to Jake Wharton.
Oh!
Right? And so yes. That one of those libraries, I can't remember. There were so many projects he's involved with. I can't remember which
Picasso?
One.
Picasso?
I want to say it's Picasso, but I'm not sure, and it might be really embarrassing if that was something totally different.
Yeah, so I shouldn't say Picasso.
Yeah, but all our listeners just heard that episode. We recorded it a month ago or two or whatever, so I don't remember. But yeah, we just covered that in the last episode.
So that's RecyclerView. So it would be good to actually get sort of an overview of what's there from our perspective. Obviously, the annotation thing is huge.
Always number one on the list.
RecyclerView, new in preview. There is the color palette, sort of color sampling utilities. We didn't work on it directly, but it's there. Interesting if you're doing image-heavy UIs. The action bar stuff that you did, drawer layout, view pager.
There's also the card view. Which is, a separate,
right, also in the
separate
preview,
support library. I think a lot like RecyclerView, and it's one of the new, you know, widgets that come as their own library with resources and attributes and everything. And that is to do card-like UI. So you get the drop shadow, and I think they have compatibility code to do the drop shadows on, you know, pre-L platforms where you don't have that built into the framework and things like that.
Yeah, CardView more than some of the other libraries is, again, one of these sort of more visual. Policy layer type of components, where something like RecyclerView or even ViewPager just sort of implement a very specific interaction or a framework for creating other interactions. CardView is just kind of like drop it in and go, and it'll look pretty consistent on other platform versions as well. So yeah, I would say that's probably closer to what AppCompat does than any of the other components that we've got in there.
That one was an interesting one too, because there's always a decision whether it's framework or support library of, do we really want to burden developers with this, you know, very specific thing? In the case of CardView, like I did a CardView for one of the demos that we used in talks at I.O., and it was pretty straightforward. It's like, well, you have this frame layout with a background thing, and maybe there's rounded corners, and then there's a drop shadow. Like, it wasn't actually that hard. The benefit of offering CardView and things like it in support library is then we can have a consistent interface, whether it's for internal apps or external developers. You know that when you use this kind of thing, you will look like other apps that use that kind of thing.
And you're not going to have your own padding and your own font and your own everything, which is just going to look bad.
So in particular, in the case of cards, like this was a new UI element that we were introducing, or at least I'm trying to use in general in some of the material design stuff. Wouldn't it be nice if there was a consistent way to use it as opposed to everybody reinventing it?
Right, but because it's something that's so intrinsically tied to material design, that makes the support library just a great place to sort of incubate that as well, because chances are it's going to go through a few minor iterations, so on and so forth, and we'll have more ideas within the next couple of years about how we want to use cards and UIs and when they're appropriate, how they should behave, so on and so forth. And it sort of gives us a place to experiment with those things without baking it into the framework API in such a way that'll make it difficult to change down the road.
Yep. So how about, I have heard rumors that you work on other things and have worked on other things in the framework besides support library?
Probably a lie, but.
What are the other things you claim credit for? That you're not just trying to run away from.
Well, at I.O. a couple of years ago, you talked a lot about the navigation utilities, right? There was the home and the up and all that stuff.
Back versus up.
Yes.
Which we may not want to get into that fabulous debate here. The main thing to say is what? Watch the I.O. talk that you did in
2013? I don't remember which one it was, but it was just entitled Navigation in Android. I did it with Rich Vulture. So if there's...
this is where when
probably
you have,
search that on YouTube if you
have multiple activities, you're trying to decide what intent flags to set and all that stuff, so
well,
that things arranged in the right way with the back and the, all that. That's
right.
What that talks about.
The short version is basically history versus hierarchy, and being able to express both of those in a system where you really can launch activities in completely different contexts from and sort of mix together different applications to collaborate.
Yeah, it's really important for Android developers to understand that, I think,
and to use popular social media applications that do it wrong, just so you understand how bad it can be and why you should actually fix the problem.
This can happen. But we've got some more tools for this coming in L as well that will give, I think, some options to relieve some pressure in a few areas that had traditionally been a little bit unsatisfying. Like, I think that a lot of people found found the answers for notifications and widgets to be, again, a little bit strange, just because in those cases you're completely replacing a task with kind of a shortest path navigation on through. So notification becomes sort of a shortcut deep into an app that right. gives you a sane back stack at that point, so that if you come back to that task, you know, 6 hours, 2 days later, that you're not left in a state where you're wondering why the heck the back button behaved in a way that it did. So hopefully we've got some more to add to that story coming in, Elle.
Plus, we added parent activity in the manifest, right? Which I think the framework also uses to do stuff more better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is mostly just to automate that process of building up your parent chain. So it turns into just one API call to make sure that you've got all that set up.
So when you started on Framework 5 years ago-ish?
Close.
Did you actually start in on ActionBar, the Framework version of that, not the Sportlet version?
No, that didn't come for a number of months later. The first thing I started with was fixing list view bugs.
Okay.
So
the whole list view thing.
Yeah, exactly. It was one of those things that Ramon and I had talked about doing for literally years at that point of, okay, well, at some point we need to make like a list view too that can solve a bunch of these problems and kind of pay down some of the complexity budget that that list view had blown through.
I also remember you working quite a bit with styles and assets and themes mm-hmm. and Gingerbread release at the time, right?
That was mostly because Gingerbread and Honeycomb were kind of happening simultaneously.
Yeah.
So a lot of the work that was influencing Honeycomb when the Holo theme was first coming in also influenced sort of how we were cleaning stuff up in Gingerbread before that big jump. So yeah, there was a lot of things learned during that time period.
And then on to other things. I don't know. It seems like support libraries soaked you a bunch over the years, which is why you're here today.
Well, I mean, plenty of other stuff too, like yes. you were saying, a bunch of window decor stuff, yeah. other widget work, so on and so forth.
Right. Yeah, sort of. Yeah, the whole stack of widgets and UIs. It's all good. It's all getting better, right?
Yeah.
And
continual improvement.
And where does it go from here?
Yeah, we don't tend to make forward-looking statements.
No,
but I guess
that was the statement, actually. It's just an open question.
Anything else you'd like to add?
I don't know. Mostly, I think that some of the biggest things that I'd like to see is an opportunity to do a little bit more automation with the support library. I think the support library is basically full of the kind of boilerplate code that nobody actually likes to write by hand. And
I'll second that.
Yeah. Not that you've spent a lot of time in that recently or anything, right?
Yeah.
So I think that the more that we could do to try to make that process and make the process of using things from the support library maybe a little bit more seamless, maybe have that feel a little bit closer to just using the standard system APIs, could be some interesting things to explore.
Yeah, I mean, in the tools, we always want the framework to be as simple as possible, have as little written code as possible, because code is our enemy, right? You know, when things are declarative, tools can do a lot, but when they're code, it's basically the halting problem, right? You know, mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of a good example now, but there's some APIs where you have to do everything via Java code.
Yep.
And those are much more opaque to us than, you know, things that are declared, you know, in XML files, like menus. If you set things up by dynamically instantiating views, we can't really help you with that. But if it's in a layout file, you know, we can edit it and so.
Meanwhile, if someone like myself writes a new widget, throws it in the support library and says, oh yeah, you know, this doesn't actually support some of these other measure spec modes, throw an exception. That tends to make our tools team a little bit cranky.
True story. Drawer layout. I definitely want to, you know, talk to Adam after this meeting and, you know, see what we can do in support, you know, with the recycler view and with the card view to make sure that, you know, they work really well.
I think getting a lot more tool integration in some of this stuff is going to be a really good next step.
Yeah, you know, recycler view doesn't really work well in the layout renderer, and so you know, basically we trap the exception that happens, and then we put like a nice user-friendly message saying, you know, the recycling view is not really supported well, but here's this issue that, you know, we're tracking the work, and that one is getting so many stars because I guess people are hitting it and opening it and going, yes, please.
Really, you're advertising your issue on the bug tracker yeah. in the layout.
The best part was, you know, I had to file that issue to have the issue ID in the code base before recycling view was public. So the issue description doesn't even say recycling view. It says placeholder. I'm gonna need this issue, and then the first comment is like, okay, this is about recycling view. We gotta fix it.
I like the break in the illusion when I get an error in design view. Like I'll pull up some layout file. I typically don't use design view anyway because that's not what I'm really working on. I just want to, you know, lay in a button and write some XML and get on with my life. But it'll pull up design view and it'll freak out because of one of those issues, and it'll have text, like an error blurb in the middle of design view, and it breaks the whole, I see behind the curtain, there's the wizard and he's a jerk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like that. It's a development tool for developers.
That's right.
Yeah. All right, anything super wise and just phenomenally fundamental about the universe that you want to leave us with?
Who do you want to call out next for interviews?
Oh, is that how this works? Is it like a referral?
Yeah, I'm just
let's
kind of
pretend
going
that
the
that we're soliciting input instead of actually exposing the fact that we have no idea who to ask next.
You're just finding whoever says yes next, right?
Yeah, we want to thank you for coming in today.
What was your name again? He thought he was coming to a bug triage meeting. We tricked him. Here's a microphone.
Yeah, we don't normally do bug triage this way, but okay.
Yeah, it's one of those viral things, yeah. You know, tag your friends.
And we're back to viruses from the very beginning.
On that incubating note, thanks for
coming
in.
Thanks.